The EPL show on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by MyBookie.ag. MyBookie is the place you want to bet to get in on all of the EPL and the European soccer action. Use the promo code SGP to receive up to $1,000 in bonus bets. That's promo code SGP to play, win and get paid at MyBookie.ag. We're also brought to you by Ace Per Head. Ace is the leader in pay-per-head providers, and they make it super easy to start your own sportsbook. Plus, Ace is offering up to 6 weeks free over at aceperhead.com/SGP. That's aceperhead.com/SGP. The Sports Gambling Podcast Network is also brought to you by Books. Valentine's Day is just around the corner, and for those of you who won't be spending it alone like me, Books Company have you covered with a variety of beautifully styled bouquets, sweet treats, plants, gifts, and succulents that are guaranteed to get you laid. Blooms starting at $39 are available, so make sure you head over to Books.com/SGP for 25% off. That's Books.com/SGP for 25% off. And finally, last but not least, the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is also brought to you by the NBA Frauds Contest on the NBA Odds Pod. We're giving away $1,000 if you're able to identify the frauds for the second half of the NBA season. All you need to do is head over to sgpn.io/NBA frauds. That's sgpn.io/NBA frauds. Hey guys, you are listening to the EPL show here on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Follow the Sports Gambling Podcast Network on Twitter at the SGP Network. Follow me on Twitter at LockBetting and check out my website, lockbetting.com. The P&L for January for lockbetting.com is currently on my Twitter account at LockBetting. It's a few tweets back, but you'll be able to find it relatively easily, and you'll be able to see that we made nearly a $3,000 profit last month. And that's starting over £400 down because the New England Patriots did nothing in the AFC. We had them to play in the conference finals and to win the AFC. Both bets went down, so we started in a four-unit hole. And we knew that was going to happen coming into the year. We knew 2020 was going to be off to a tough start because even though New England were in it, they weren't really in it. They didn't look good in the regular season, towards the end of the regular season, and they had absolutely no chance. I would have liked them to get through Tennessee. I expected them to lose to the Chiefs because the Chiefs were the hedge that we put down early, and that came off the regular season win that the Chiefs had over the Patriots. We hedged that immediately, but in the end it didn't matter too much because the hedge came through. Like a lot of stuff in January, it was a good month with the winners in UFC, WWE Royal Rumble, some decent soccer bets, and just absolutely flying in basketball. So make sure you go and check that out. Speaking of combat sports, there is a fight show this weekend because there is a UFC card. So make sure you check that out. That will be going out probably 4 or 5 hours after this show. So make sure you check that one out. John Jones is back this weekend, so it's a relatively important UFC card. But obviously, not going to lie, it's not going to be as important as a fight show that we do in a few weeks' time because that one is huge. We are really looking forward to that one. Tyson Fury versus Deontay Wilder, the rematch. There won't be a bigger fight in boxing this year. I know it's early. I know it's the first big fight of the year, but it's not going to be topped. It's the heavyweight division. It's the big two as far as I'm concerned. Anthony Joshua isn't in the conversation with me. So big month here for fight show with John Jones back in the octagon, and then the month concluding with Wilder versus Fury part two. This week's EPL show, it's a little bit of a faux title because the EPL schedule is spread across 2 weeks at the moment because of the winter break. Now, the way this is going to work is 8 teams are going to play this weekend. They're then going to go in their winter break. And next weekend, six games are going to happen, which is 12 teams who are currently on their winter break right now. So the likes of Liverpool, Manchester United and Chelsea are already on their winter break. And the likes of Everton and Manchester City have all remained behind. But they still found a way, possibly by luck, to schedule this quite nicely because this one, this weekend, is a very relegation-centric weekend. As you can see, Brighton and Watford are playing and they're against each other. Bournemouth also in action and West Ham. So it is a very significant weekend, whereas next weekend, you could argue that it really centres around the top four. You've got Chelsea versus Man United playing, and Man United need to win that game to have any chance of being in the top four. And if they do win, it does give hopes to the others with Tottenham in action next weekend away to Aston Villa, and Wolves versus Leicester going down on Friday. This is actually these are actually the reverse fixtures of the opening day of the season. It's very odd. I've spoken about this before, how the EPL had fixtures turn around within 3 weeks over the Christmas period where teams played each other and they played each other 3 weeks later, and then these opening day of season fixtures only get reversed this weekend and next weekend as well. So in order to compensate for that, what I've made the decision to do is to sort of give you a combination here of the EPL show and the European show. The European show is a show I do on Lock Betting every week. I like to call it the crown jewel of the Lock Betting website because it just does so, so well. It has a 23-5 lot record for the season. So that kind of indicates to you how well that show does. And you are going to be getting it for free this week here on the SGP. But next week, we will return to normal. The European show will return to lockbetting.com exclusively for lockbetting.com clients. And you will be getting a 6-match EPL show next week. And in order to compensate for the fact that there will be less games on that show, I'm going to revisit the futures markets for those people that didn't get a chance to listen to the futures show that I did covering all the European leagues, including the EPL. I'm going to have another look at the EPL games, just a quick glance at a few markets that we didn't necessarily cover, and maybe focus a little bit more on those because there are some bets that I didn't get an opportunity to take, and there are more markets here available for the EPL. It's basically what I wanted to look at is certain teams to finish above certain teams. There seems to be a lot of value there. You can basically take bets on any team to finish above any other team. So there's a few different combinations I like. Didn't get a chance to cover it on the futures market. So obviously it's not just going to be a rehash of things that I covered on there and then just re-looking at them a few weeks later, although I probably will do that for the relegation markets off the back of this weekend because we have had two or three significant fixtures since that point. So I will re-look at a big market like that. But I'm not going to go back through top goal scorers, top four, that kind of stuff. I am going to look at this market that we missed out, which is certain teams to finish above certain teams, and pick out some bets for you. But the lock on that show will be an EPL lock. We'll go back to that. But today we're going to go with a European lock on the show. So we'll quickly race through these EPL games. Not to say that they're insignificant. I think race through possibly the wrong terminology in that sense. But we'll look at them here. And they start with the 12:30 game between Everton and Crystal Palace. No real implications here for this one other than the fact that Everton are improving. I spoke to an Everton fan this week who actually feels like none of the teams have grabbed the Champions League position, the fourth position, by the scruff of the neck, and that Everton could possibly have a chance if they continue under this form under Carlo Ancelotti. Now, this would have been absolutely impossible to envision a few weeks ago, but now Everton are just 8 points behind Chelsea, and that may sound like a lot, but these teams are not picking up points at all. Chelsea are only on 41 after 25 games. There's only 13 games left here in the EPL season, and 41 from 25 is a pretty poor return. You'd be thinking that usually a top four spot would be a minimum of 50, which is 2 points a game, which is just under what Leicester sitting in third place. They're on 49, and Man City are kind of on track at 51, and that's just for Champions League positioning. They are nowhere near league title challenging form, which is why we do have ourselves a 22-point gap at the top of the league, with Liverpool already winning the league. And I would say they won it 5, 6, 7 games ago. It's long done. It's not even a conversation anybody's having about Liverpool dropping the title from this position. But moving on to this game, I guess Everton could be in that conversation at this point in time. Crystal Palace, they're a team that are going the other way. They may re-enter the relegation conversation soon because they are in some very poor form and just sit 6 points above the relegation zone here. And this is another game I don't see them winning or getting anything from. Everton are in hot form. They've lost one game in the league under Ancelotti, and they're 4-6 to win this one. And when you look at the pubs of the team, the players, the personnel, the plight of the managers, big rumours that Hodgson's gonna finish up here at Crystal Palace at the end of the season, or it's Ancelotti is firmly engrossed and in this job and has taken it by the scruff of the neck. I can only see one result here, and that's Everton getting themselves another win and maybe talk about his top four will increase, because obviously we have teams in the top four not in position, so they will have games that they're not playing this week, and they will have games in hand on Everton. But the visualisation of Everton being in sixth place this weekend is a real possibility. Actually, not sixth place, although they'll go level on points with Sheffield United. The goal difference is very different, so unless Everton win this game by 9, they're not going to go in sixth place, but they will go into seventh with a win here, which will take them above Manchester United, which will be a big statement. And especially considering Manchester United play Chelsea next week away, it's highly likely that Everton will at least remain level on points with Man United. So Man United probably have this will obviously stay above them on goal difference, but Everton will be above Manchester United if they win this game. And if Man United lose next weekend, they'll stay above them. And if Man United draw, then they'll be level on points and Everton will be just behind them on goal difference. So bearing in mind that Everton have been a shitstorm this season and have gone through Marco Silva, who was in a relegation battle, and then brought in Duncan Ferguson for 4 games to tighten the ship, and now have gone to Carlo Ancelotti and have just looked like a mess and have had a load of signings that really haven't settled, like Moise Kean and Iwobi as well, which is £90 million worth of signings who have all been epic failures, in my opinion. This is really odd to see Everton level on points, or above Manchester United, sorry, after this weekend's games. That really does say a lot about how tight this league is and about how inconsistent teams are. But it also says a lot about Manchester United, because if Everton can do this, if they can appoint a manager in December and just skyrocket above you with a few wins, it really shows you that Manchester United aren't going in the right direction and they probably do need to make a change. And I don't think they're going to make a change at all, no matter what happens this season. Even if they finish in the bottom half and go out in the very next round of the Europa League, they're not going to make that change. They're going to see Ole out to the end of the season. But unless they are in the Champions League next season, which will be either via the top four or the winning the Europa League, or I guess there's a very small chance he could save his job by having a good Europa League run, finishing just short of the Champions League positions and winning the FA Cup. So I would say fifth in the league, losing the Europa League final or semi-final and winning the FA Cup, that may be a different route to save him. But I don't think any of that's going to transpire. I think we're going to fall short in the Europa League. Someone's going to end up knocking us out. We are going to finish outside of the top four significantly here, and we are not going to win the FA Cup. As soon as we end up getting drawn against the likes of a Manchester City away from home or anyone else in this top four, we are going to go out. And that goes in contrast to how Manchester United were playing against top teams at the start of the season. But recent performances really make me think that we're heading in the wrong direction. We played quite poorly away to Liverpool and they could have won by a lot more. We played very poorly away to Arsenal. We were absolutely dominated at home to Manchester City, and somehow we've eked out an away win against Man City. last time out in a cup in a game that they dominated. But that was a very, very different type of game to the time we went to Man City and won. It's just those two performances that we had against Tottenham at home and Man City away from home that saved Solskjaer's job at a time when we looked like we were bringing in Pochettino seemed like complete and utter anomalies. And I don't know where they came from, but a lot of people are overly clinging on to those performances as to where or what Manchester United can be. But I think the more consistent Manchester United is a string of poor results, which should see the end of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. And as I said, getting back onto my point, Everton going above Man United from the position that they were in will be absolutely indicative of that this weekend. And I do expect Everton to win this game. Up next, we look at Brighton versus Watford, where Brighton are the 11-10 favourites. It's 12-5 the draw, and it's 12-5 on Watford. Watford, on the surface, if you look at them, you could say that they've possibly lost form recently, and that wouldn't be too inaccurate because they've gone out of the FA Cup and they've lost back-to-back league games. But they were leading 3-0 against Tranmere and got a little bit complacent and then capitulated, and that led to their FA Cup exit, which was disappointing seeing as they were FA Cup finalists last season. Then you look at the game against Aston Villa. They looked comfortable winning that game 1-0, and again, they capitulated. And then last week, the biggest capitulation of all, even worse than the 3-0, they capitulated against 10 men. They were 2-0 up against Everton, and Everton were down to 10 men and ended up winning that game 3-2 with a stoppage time winner. So some people may not think there's too much difference between getting a point and getting no points, but every point is so important because that point would take Watford level on points with West Ham. And at the moment now that they are sitting 2 points behind Villa instead of 1 point and 3 points behind Bournemouth, where Bournemouth have a slightly superior goal difference, as do Brighton, who are only 3 points above Watford as well. So every point does count when you're talking about the relegation zone, and that would have been very disappointing for them to lose the game, and it would have been very bad for their morale. But I have a different take on it, and that's basically looking at the fact that they were good enough to go 2-0 up against Everton. They were good enough to be controlling the game against Aston Villa. I think this team are too good to go down, and I don't feel that way about Brighton. I think that despite the fact that Brighton managed to capitalise on West Ham's complacency last weekend and pull back a 3-3 draw, I do think that they are playing a brand of football that is above the personnel that they have, whereas I don't feel that way about Watford. I feel that Watford are actually playing a more basic and direct brand of football, and Pearson's doing the right things to keep them in the league because Watford are a team led by a player like Troy Deeney, and the more direct approach is what they need, and they're doing the right things under the right manager to keep them up. And this nice football that Brighton are trying to play, and certainly not scoring enough goals doing it, despite the fact they scored 3 last week, isn't going to be enough to keep them up. They need to get back to playing the way that they played when they bullied Tottenham earlier on in the season. And this nice stuff isn't going to keep Brighton up. I still think Brighton at 4-1 are a really good price to go down this season. And we could see Watford springing upset here, but for me, the better bet and the more safer bet is to take Watford here on the double chance to avoid a defeat, because I don't see them losing 3 Premier League games under a row under Pearson. And despite the fact that Brighton will be looking at this as a must-win situation and a 6-pointer and coming home and coming off a unbelievable recovery last week, I think man for man and tactics for tactics, I think Watford can come here and win this game very much like they did at Bournemouth, because there are similarities between Brighton and Bournemouth as well in terms of the way they play, except Bournemouth have far better players than Brighton do. And I think that was proven by the Bournemouth-Brighton result a few weeks ago anyways. We actually transition straight on to Bournemouth now, and they play on Sunday. And they are the 17-4 underdogs to win at Sheffield United, who are the 8-11 favourites, and it's 5-2 to draw. I'm tired of fading Sheffield United and having it bite me in the arse. Last week, they did go and win away to Crystal Palace, and I thought that they were that it was very generous for the bookies to have Palace priced up as home underdogs against this newly promoted team. But we just can't look at them like that anymore. We have to completely disregard their personnel as well, even though they have no world-class players in their squad. They are managing to make me look foolish continuously. I mean, we're already going to be down 5 units And we lost those 5 units a long time ago, taking this team to be relegated at the start of the season at 10 to 11. That bet isn't even a runner anymore. And that hasn't been a runner for some time. This team have been very, very safe. They're now talking about Champions League. The way we were talking about Everton, and that was with an Everton fan, an actual radio show were talking about Sheffield United's possibility of making the Champions League and how great it would be for the club and what a message it would send to the big six. And yeah, that could actually happen. And it could happen mainly down to the fact that this team just simply do not concede goals. And in my fantasy wildcard this week, I'm almost tempted to wildcard with 3 defenders from Sheffield United. I'll certainly be taking a goalkeeper because not only does Henderson keep clean sheets, but he makes a ton of saves as well. So I think the Sheffield United keeper at the moment for the price in fantasy is an absolute no-brainer. And a lot of people already have Lundstram, but Lundstram is now in and out of the side, and there certainly are safer Sheffield United players to take in your defence. But at the end of the day, it's a great machine that they've built there. Whoever goes out, they bring somebody in almost seamlessly and still manage to play the same type of football. And basically, more or less, it unanimously leads to an under play. And 4-6 here on the under is where I want to be. I fancy Sheffield United to win this game 1-0. I think Bournemouth will be extra cautious and will be happy to come away with a point. So I don't think we're going to see the usual attack in Bournemouth. And if we do, and if they do manage to break through, this is a Sheffield United team that aren't really scoring more than one goal per game. And I think 1-1 would be your biggest danger here to this under not cashing, because obviously at that point you're only just one goal, one mistake or one deflection away from losing. So I think you may have to sweat this one at 1 apiece, but I'm going for 1-0 Sheffield United, and I'm even more strongly going for the under in this game, which has been a very consistent play for this team. Final EPL game we look at is Manchester City versus West Ham. West City are unbackable at 1-8. West Ham are 16-1 to pull off the upset here. West Ham's plight this season isn't going to be determined by results at Manchester City or Liverpool or any of these other places. It's going to be determined by what they do against the guys around them. And last week in a 6-pointer, they lost a 3-1 lead to Brighton, which was actually a lock last week, but it was actually a push because we took them on the draw no bet market. My clients actually took them on a double chance, so we took it a little bit safer, guaranteed ourselves the winner last week. And in this situation, as I said, despite the fact they're in a relegation zone, it'd be worrying. I don't think it matters too much that they don't pick up any points this season, even if teams pick up points in and around them. Obviously, West Ham won't want to see anybody distance themselves from that relegation zone. So draws in the Brighton-Watford game and a Sheffield United win over Bournemouth would be the ideal results for them. And maybe even seeing Crystal Palace sucked in there with an Everton win. So I think West Ham will be mainly focusing on the results around them and hoping that they go positively for them. So wins for Sheffield United, wins for Everton, a draw in the Brighton-Watford game. And then when we move on to next week, they'll possibly be looking at Tottenham, who are rivals of theirs, doing them a favour and winning at Aston Villa. So this is really a free hit for West Ham, who really will need to get back on board after this, and they do need to win home games against the likes of Brighton, which they didn't do last weekend. But Manchester City for me is a team that always plough through West Ham, and I'm going to take City here on the -2 handicap here at 10-11. Now that isn't -2 Asian, that's a -2.5 Asian. That's a flat out -2 handicap. So -2.5 on the Asian for Man City to cruise past this West Ham team and further highlight the problems. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that they cannot go down, because whereas that would have looked like the case when you look at the personnel and the manager and everything there and the stadium, this team are in real big trouble because they have got themselves into this situation with 13 games to go, and these automatic wins and this automatic status that they have in the Premier League isn't guaranteed now at this point, because for 25 games, the points tally says they're one of the 3 worst teams in the league. So I'm not going to be arrogant enough here to say that they're going to definitely get out of this, but if I was to bet on it, I wouldn't have West Ham in my bottom three. I just feel at some point they are going to get this together. And David Moyes has done this before, and they have players coming back like Anderson, etc. And they should They should get out of it. They should be able to get three wins here in these last 13 games, you'd think. Obviously, this not being one of them, so that would only leave them three wins out of 12. But surely this West Ham team can win 25% of their final 12 games. I mean, that alone wouldn't take them to the tally that they need to. That would only take them to 33 points, which kind of tells you how much trouble that they could possibly be in. But I think that they could even round that off with a few draws as well, because the points tally here, that they say the usual target is 40 points, but I do feel that somebody could probably stay up this season with 38. But we'll see what happens. We'll get a better feel for that as the season progresses. Moving on to the European games that I wanted to cover here today. We are going to start in Germany, but before we do that, we're going to take a few seconds out here to talk about some of the sponsors here on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. And of course, I realise the Super Bowl is over, but you can still bet on all the big games here over at mybookie.ag, and that includes everything I'm giving out here, be it the EPL, be it all these European fixtures we're about to look at, be it the Champions League, be it the NBA or the college basketball, which we've been absolutely nailing over at lockbet.com. You can get on all of it over at mybookie.ag and benefit from the fastest payouts and best promotions and very helpful 24/7 customer service team. You can even pull your bets together for a bigger payout. Let's say you like the lock on this show and you like the lock that I give out on the fight show. You can parlay them together and you can win even bigger. MyBookie has more lines and better odds for the player than any other sports book around. And if you join right now, MyBookie will match your deposit halfway, all the way up to $1,000. That means if you deposit $2,000, you'll get a free $1,000 to play with. They're giving you AG. They're giving you $1,000 in free money to bet with if you deposit $2,000. That is an incredible offer. And all you have to do to get it is use our promo code SGP to activate the offer. That's once again promo code SGP and get your extra cash from mybookie.ag, where you can bet, win, and get paid. We are also sponsored by Ace Per Head, who are perfect if you've ever thought about starting your own sports book, but you don't know how. Ace Per Head is here to help you start your own sports book, and they'll provide you with all-inclusive professional betting site with all the lines updated up to the second and wagers graded immediately. They too have top-notch 24/7 customer support and some of the sharpest lines in the industry. Plus, Ace offers live betting experience and an amazing mobile experience, and you can get started today because Ace is offering you up to 6 weeks for free, and you just go over to aceperhead.com/SGP. That's aceperhead.com/SGP. So let's move on to these European fixtures. And we start in Germany, where the 2:30 game between Schalke and Paderborn is the first game that we look at. Schalke are the chalky 4-7 favourites here, and that's because they are a team that are contending for Champions League football, whereas Paderborn are a team that are in terrible form and have dropped down to the bottom of the table. A lot of people earlier on in the season were looking at Union Berlin as being the team that would really struggle this season, but they've done all right. They're sitting in 12th place. They've also got themselves a home win over Dortmund earlier on this season, and Paderborn look like the team who are certainties to go down, and they look like a certain opportunity for Schalke to get themselves a win, a much needed win, because they're a team that have kind of dropped off lately as well. So this one looks like a nailed on opportunity for Schalke to get themselves back into top four contention, whereas Paderborn's problems get even worse as they continue to look like relegation certainties. The 5:30 game between Leverkusen and Dortmund pretty much guarantees you goals. Now, I do like Dortmund to win this game, but I'm put off by their inconsistencies. Now, in the league, they've been very consistent. So consistent, in fact, they scored 5 goals in every game since they've come back from the winter break. A 5-3 win is what they started with Haaland scoring a hat-trick on his debut, coming on from the bench. And since then, Haaland has gone on to net get this, 8 goals in his 4 games as a Dortmund player. So as I said, a 5-3 win in the league coupled with a 5-1 and a 5-0. So 15 goals put through. Why do I not like him? Just because in midweek they exited the cup with a relatively strong team against Werder Bremen. And that really says it all about a Dortmund team. And it also worries me that Leverkusen are desperately needing a win here because they've dropped 5 points outside of the Champions League positions to Borussia Mönchengladbach. And I did tip them to actually make this Champions League. They have more Champions League experience and they have the better players here and they should be able to catch up with Mönchengladbach. But another defeat here and another Gladbach victory this weekend will make that gap very big. I do think that is a real possibility though this weekend because Borussia Mönchengladbach play at home to Köln on Sunday, a game I expect them to win. And I do expect Dortmund to win this game. I just don't like Dortmund at this 23-20 price when there are other bets available that I like a lot more. And for starters, over 2.5 being the main one. Over 2.5 goals looks like a certainty in this game. But what's even better value is over 2.5 goals paired up with both teams to score because that will give you more value because it will take your price here to, hold on, I'm on the wrong thing here. It will take your price here to 8-11 as opposed to taking the 4-7 on the over. You can take the 8-11 on both teams to score and over 2.5 goals. This Dortmund team will concede goals, but the over 2.5 they could cover single-handedly based on their recent form. I think goals is the only guarantee in this game and you'll be a lot safer taking that than picking this Dortmund team to carry on, although I think it would be beneficial to the league if Dortmund do keep winning so we do get some sort of title race. Looking at the last game in Germany, it does concern a title race because it is the top two and it features Leipzig travelling to Bayern Munich. In recent weeks, Bayern Munich have taken over at the top of the Bundesliga, a league that saw Leipzig comfortably top as we came back from the winter break. They are now a point behind Bayern Munich. They are not really coming into this in good form. They have let their league slip to the point where a lot of people do think, including myself, that it will come down to Dortmund and Bayern, who are separated by 3 points. And whereas Leipzig are only 1 point behind Bayern, I think this is an opportunity for Bayern to really create themselves some nice distance here from both Dortmund, who face a tough game, and Leipzig here, who obviously play against Bayern here in the game of the week on Sunday. Now, I say game of the week, but don't forget there's also a Milan derby that we'll be looking at later in Italy between Inter and AC. But for me, the top two here narrowly shade it, and I think Bayern Munich will win this big game and create a bigger gap between themselves and their opponents. If we're looking at Bayern's form in the Bundesliga, they've won 4 in a row won in the cup in midweek against Hoffenheim by 4-3, whereas Leipzig have stuttered. They went out of the cup 3-1 to Frankfurt, got a 2-2 home draw against Mönchengladbach, a bad away defeat against Frankfurt. And prior to that, got themselves a 3-1 win against Union Berlin at home. But they had to come from a goal down even to win that game as well. So for me, this is a Leipzig team that are struggling. They don't look like the same team that got that battled to a brilliant 3-3 draw at Dortmund before the winter break and have looked so consistent this season. There seem to be holes in their game and I think Bayern Munich will be able to exploit that. They have far more big game experience than this Leipzig team and I think we'll see Bayern roll here this weekend and I like them here at the price of 4-7. So as we move out, I said that we would talk about Italy and there's only one game I really want to look at here and that is the Milan derby where Inter Milan are the even money favourites to win this game. For me, despite the fact that Ibrahimovic has arrived and Milan have seen some sort of a revival when they've come back from the winter break, including getting themselves a decent cup run and moving into contention for this top four, I think there's way too much of a gap here. Last time they played, we took the under and we were lucky to cash that off the back of a 2-0 because it really could have been 6 or 7. Inter looks so much better than them. And despite the fact this Milan team have made improvements and they are playing this game on a pitch, where both teams play every week, Inter have added even more. Plus, their goal is to keep in contention for the title. And the additions of Sanchez and Eriksen and Young and Moses will all be vital here, allowing Conte to rotate his squad, something that he doesn't do very often, but he's probably learned from his mistakes and will be able to rotate, but I don't think we'll see too many fringe players coming into this game. I think if it's top team versus top team, there isn't a single Milan player that's going to get into this Inter team, and I think it's an absolute landslide if you were to put out any kind of combined 11, showing the gulf in class between these two teams even more than the league position does. Therefore, I'm going for Inter Milan to win this game here and win this Milan derby. An excellent, excellent price of even money on Sunday. And as I said, it's debatable in terms of what you like as the game of the week this week between the top of the table clash in Germany and, of course, this very famous Milan derby. If we move now on to La Liga, we will take just a couple of games here. We're not going to have any action on the big two, Real Madrid and Barcelona, but we will look at Atletico Madrid, often considered the third best team in Spain. Well, currently they sit sixth in the league and are desperate for a win. The most consistent thing about Atletico this season is the fact that over 80% of their games have seen under 2.5 goals. And despite the fact they are 4-9 favourites here to win against Granada, which should look comfortable, I'm going to stick with the under 2.5 goal trend that has cashed in a load of money for lockbetting.com punters this season, even more than the usual trend of Atletico to nil, which we've kind of jumped off this season. But for the sake of this game, and because it's such a desperate must-win game for Atletico, we will jump back on. We will take both bets here. The Atletico to nil here is available at 10-11 and the under is available at 4-6. And if you look at the Atletico games, you will see that both bets have a real possibility of cashing. I'm not worried at all about Atletico winning this game by 3 or 4. I'm more worried about them going and pulling off another 0-0, which has been their most common result this season. And even if we do get the 0-0 here, at least we'll cash the under 2.5 on this game. But I'll be looking to cash both, and I'll be looking for Atletico to win this game by 1 or possibly 2 goals to 0. But that'll be the most that they can do, because they are not an attack-minded team, and they do struggle pretty much against everyone. They do struggle to break everybody down, but I think in this situation they will be able to beat a Granada team who really dropped down the table before the winter break and have improved quite a lot since they've come back. But I just think this is such a must-win opportunity here for Atletico at 8 o'clock on Saturday. The final game I look at in the Liga is an Espanyol versus Real Mallorca game. Now, this is very niche. Some people will be looking at this and go, why have you picked this one out? Well, this is exactly what the European show is all about. And you get it every single week over at lockbetting.com. I scour through all of the European games and take a very small selection of games that I like. And it just so happens that Real Mallorca away from home is a game I've taken every single week. And we have cashed big, big money on this trend. Now, reason being is because Real Mallorca have lost every single away game this season. It doesn't matter if it's against a team at the top of the league like Barcelona, or if it's a team at the bottom of the league here, which is what Espanyol are. They managed to lose away from home. Now, I'm not going to lie to you, there's been major line adjustment. Earlier on in the season, we were able to take the home teams here at prices of around about 5-4 or 6-5 or even money at worst. And if they were playing against top half teams, we were able to get it at around about 4-6, 4-7. And we were able to actually benefit from that a few weeks ago. There was still a decent price given out on Real Sociedad, even though they're a top six team, to beat this Real Mallorca team. Now there seems to be some serious line adjustment, because despite the fact that Espanyol are bottom of the league, we're not getting 23-20 or 5-4 or 6-5 or even evens. We are having to take 8-11 best price, and more commonly available at 4-6 minus 150 in places. So although that's not ideal, because obviously bookies have noticed the trend, I still like to ride a trend that has cashed 100% of the time for my clients this season. And this for me is an obvious lock contender on this week's show. Espanyol, despite being bottom of the table, will win this week at home to Mallorca and continue cashing that trend. And of course, Espanyol are a team who I mentioned on the future show, where I said they could still be a team that get out of this, because they can play. They are La Liga regulars. And I think the most definitive fact that we can look at here is the fact that if this game does go according to the script, which is what's happening in every Real Mallorca game this season, Real Mallorca, who sit quite a few places above Espanyol, will be level on points with Espanyol and only separated by goal difference. So it's very, very tight down the bottom. And if anyone can go on a 2 or 3 game run, then they can get out of this situation. And I still think Espanyol, despite the fact they are bottom of the table, they will win this game. They will win this game as favourites, and they could get out of this situation still and remain in La Liga this season. As I said, I'm skipping Real Madrid. I'm skipping Sociedad Bilbao, even though it's an interesting game. And I'm skipping Osasuna versus Real Madrid. Not as interested in automatically just looking at the big marketable teams here. That's not what the European show is about. We do play against teams like Real Mallorca and pick out very niche bets. And we are very successful with it. And I highly recommend people upgrading to that package to make sure that you get this show every week. I will finish off in France, but I'm going to just be very, very chalky here. Marseille face Toulouse with a bottom team in France, and they are looking to finish second in the league this season because the league is over. And Paris Saint-Germain go at home to Lyon. Paris always play up at home to the teams in and around them. They've got comfortable wins at home this season against Marseille. They looked, they usually are comfortable against Monaco. Although they weren't good against them at home, they did batter them away a few weeks ago. And here they play against Lyon. And it's always priced more favorably where you can get it around about -1 to -3, which is a good price for a Paris game. But the golfing class will show here. Paris will roll here and win this game by 2 or 3. And if you parlay these two teams together, you will end up winning your bet comfortably. So let's move on with the Lock Dog Parlay on this show. As I said, the two locks that I've spoken about both came from the European side of things. I really like Inter in that derby. I also like to continue riding our trend between Espanyol and Real Mallorca because it has cashed for us so regularly this season. But I'm going to lean towards that Milan derby. The first time I watched this game, I was on my hands and knees praying for the under to cash because Inter was so dominant, and I can't stray away from that. As the home game comes around here, Inter are even stronger. And despite the fact Milan look more improved and more organised, they're not going to close down a golfing class where they lost so dominantly and they don't have a single player that will get into this Inter team, despite the fact they have Zlatan Ibrahimovic. He, I don't think, would get into this Inter team, and neither with anybody else. Inter roll here in the Milan derby and they win this game, and that will be the lock for this week, narrowly edging out Espanyol over Real Mallorca. As for the parlay, I'm going to stick with the two games that I just mentioned in France. Marseille are going to win this game at home to Toulouse quite comfortably. Paris Saint-Germain are going to beat Lyon. And if you feel brave, you can add Schalke of Germany onto this. I personally won't be. I'm quite happy taking a twofold parlay here from France to guarantee myself a payout. As for the dog play this week, I'm going to actually stretch myself back to the Premier League. And I am going to take a draw here in the Brighton-Watford game. There's good value on that draw. It pays out at over 2-1. You can get it at 12-5 best price. And I think it's a good opportunity here. Last week, we almost cashed a draw as the dog with Watford and Everton, and that only really went down in the 94th minute. But I think here, this represents another good opportunity to cash in on a draw. I can't see who wins this game. The need of these teams is so desperate. I'm just not really sure whether we get ourselves a very, very tight game where neither team wants to lose to a relegation rival, or we see an open game that still ends up somehow winding up a draw. I'm not too sure, but I just cannot see anybody else distancing themselves from the pack here. And of course, if it does end up a draw, that'll be a very positive result for the rivals in and around them, and a good result for the likes of West Ham and Aston Villa. Aston Villa not in action this weekend, and West Ham obviously looking like they're going to be a tomato can this weekend for Manchester City. But there are, of course, other bets I like here in not only the EPL, but all the way across Europe. I mentioned all of those European games that I covered, which would usually appear on a European show. If you want all my official picks, then make sure that you head over to lockbetting.com and upgrade to a package. As I said, if you go over to the lockbetting.com Twitter, lockbetting.com at lockbetting Twitter, it will take you to lockbetting.com where you can see the P&L for January, and you can see that we made nearly a $3,000 profit. And bearing in mind that package is only $125, and we've made profit now for a ridiculous 68 months in a row. I started this company under datajesus.net 68 months ago, back in 2014 for the 2014 World Cup. And every single month I have a tracked profit. I haven't lost a single month in my life, and I don't plan to start in February 2020. In fact, this month is already comfortably in profit. right now after a very, very successful Super Bowl weekend last weekend. And of course, you guys heard on the Future Show what I said about the Super Bowl. I was very clear on my pick, San Francisco plus one at halftime. That cashed easily. And take Kansas City Chiefs at any point during the game if you can get them over 3-1, because I do feel that they're going to get themselves a third comeback. And couldn't have called it any better. And just for kicks, we also cashed the under there. The clients also cashed comfortably on the under 54. So an amazing Super Bowl has got us off to an amazing start here in February. Get on board. Get yourself a package over at lockbetting.com and check out the P&L on Twitter at lockbetting, which will take you straight through to January's P&L. I'm going to post that every month now, and I'm also going to be posting free picks on it. So make sure that you check me out on Twitter. Make sure you start following. I'm going to be a lot more active on my Twitter account. Last thing I want to mention, I'm going to take this opportunity to mention the fight show, because UFC is back this weekend. John Jones is back in the octagon, but it will not be the only fight show this month. Of course, there will be Fury versus Wilder part two. That will be coming in a couple of weeks' time. And of course, next week, the EPL show returns as normal. And over at sportsgamblingpodcast.com, I will be doing my usual article, but this week, the combined 11 will be from the European Game of the Week. That's it from me and this very special edition of the EPL show / European show. Good luck with all of your bets as always. And thanks for listening, guys.